Welcome back to Raging Gracefully 2.0 with me, Annie Nyland, your host. Get ready to take a shallow dive into a deep ocean of tongue-in-cheek social commentary, questionable advice, obscure musical references, life hacks, as well as fitness and wellness tips that just might fly in the face of what we're currently force-fed. Okay, first and foremost, thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode. Podcasters are dependent on their audience, and you now have leverage over us, so please don't abuse it. As a reminder, this episode and this show, Raging Gracefully 2.0, has changed its rating to explicit. And all that means is that it's going to be adult content with adult language. So any parents or grandparents or caretakers, if there's kids around, just please factor that. Do not get upset with me. I gave you warning. And I don't intend to get very graphic. It's just every once in a while to keep it authentic, I might use an adult word. So this episode, I want to start it off with a question about intuition. Specifically, is there such a thing as female intuition? What are its pluses and what are its minuses? So I think many of us who are involved in a male-female relationship have been in a situation where, say we went to a party and, you know, at the party, normal things like good food, good conversation, loud music, whatever happens at a party, you know, it's going on. But on the way home, it's very different. The woman is going to have a list of all the things she picked up at the party. Who ate too much, who ate too little, who drank too much, who wasn't drinking, who's having a fight, who's getting too cozy. The list can go on and on. And when she says to her husband or male partner, so what did you think about the party? He might say, it was fun, or music was loud, or food was okay, and keep it at that. So it does raise the question that are women inherently wired to pick up all these social cues? And maybe it is a biological imperative because of guarding the nest from predators and all that, that you have to have big antenna. But here's the thing with having those big antennas. What you're picking up may not be rooted in reality. And I think I've learned this the hard way. So hear me out. When you pick up information, it's invariably going to be processed through your own lens. And what I mean by that is it's going to be perceived based on your past experiences. Now, say you've had a bad experience with somebody that perhaps didn't treat you with as much respect as you wanted, or they looked down at you. You might have think, and this is a dated term, that the person was quote unquote stuck up. But what if that person was just shy, but you interpreted that quietness as being stuck up based on a past experience of yours? So it's really important for us women to, okay, we're going to pick up the information. That's okay. That's a skill. But once we get that information, let it marinate. Start looking at it critically. In other words, did you pick up something that was actually happening, or did you write a script in your head about what was happening? And I promise you, if you're mindful about this, your initial reaction, which again, you know, is automatic. We don't think about it. It's just a feeling. And that's why we call it a gut feeling. But again, it's based on emotion and not facts. So one of the things that we can all work on, us women, is allowing that information in, processing it, and then making a decision about it. Because I know we've all been too guilty of, you know, coming up with a scenario that we think is actually happened and may not. And am I getting too repetitive here? But anyway, this is a topic that I keep rolling around in my mind, because I know that when I talk to women about this, many of them say, oh no, I trust my gut. Again, your gut may be tainted. So just keep that in mind. So next, I'm going to move on to, and I did this in a past episode and I took it down. And I'll tell you why. The subject is adult. You know, we're talking about pet names and not so pet names for female genitalia. And I kept saying genitalia instead of genitals, and I don't know why. And after listening to it, I was squirming. It felt a little cringy. And there's a lot of reasons for this, and mostly it's because maybe I need to evolve more when I talk about the V word. I can't even say it. No, I'm only kidding. Vagina. So I wanted to just discuss some terms that might need to be thrown away, or terms that maybe we could even celebrate. I don't know. But here's the thing. Can you name 10 parts of female genitals? 10 parts. Think about that. 10 parts. Let it marinate. 10 parts. Oh boy. At first try, I came up with what I thought was a complete list, and then I got schooled, and it's always fun to get schooled. So lots of times I do this thing called noun sense, and it's like breaking up a word into a name. For example, like say you have a friend named Ellie, and you think of her last name, Fant, and Elephant, or Elephant. Okay, that one was a bad example. But imagine a couple named the Tulls, and they have a daughter named Jenny. So she's got to go through life with the name Genitals. Okay, that's weak too, but these are the way I amuse myself. And as you can see, I'm easily amused. So some of the terms that we need to get rid of because they're just plain silly is foo-foo, foof, hoo-ha, nanny, thingy, down there, doo-dah. And I remember when I was young, I called my female genitals hamburger and the boys were hot dogs. And now I notice that taco seems to be trending. And when you look at a taco shell, yes, you know, you can think of it. And then when you stuff the lettuce and meat and cheese, you're going to have to figure out what part of the genitals that is. And I'll leave that up to you and your imagination. So one of the most popular terms for female genitals is pussy. And I had to be careful when I said that because I didn't want to make a puh sound and have it distort the word. And an uptown version of that is pushoir. Just like when we say target, we want to make it more upscale by saying target. And then vag. You know, that's kind of fun to say vag. Imagine her vag. And vagine, that's kind of dressing it up too. Now, how about this? Lady bits. Now, I think I've said this before and, you know, hear me out on this. The word lady is so cringeworthy. Just think about what it implies. It really is rooted in the what? In the patriarchy. It's rooted in there. I almost lost my train of thought there. And just think about it. When I think of the word lady, I think of a woman sitting on a horse, side saddle, with a cup of tea in her hand, a corset on, her pinky finger up, a big bonnet on, and acting very genteel. And that's my association with the word lady. So when I hear lady bits, I like bits. Let's go with bits. Kind of slangy and fun. Okay, now bajango or bajingo. Okay. I've never used that, but okay, it could be fun. And I love vajayjay. It's just fun. Not scientific at all, but just fun. So we all can thank Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for turning us on to Kitty and Muffin. And I don't know how old I was before I actually, you know, thought about what he was saying. You know, let's see what he started. Oh, Muff and Kitty and Muffin. And you know, in Walk This Way, you ain't seen nothing till you're down on her muffin. And there's sure to be a change in ways. And you're welcome that I didn't sing it. And the other thing is singing Hey Diddle Diddle with the kitty in the middle. And they're swinging like they just don't care. Okay, so muffin and kitty. Okay, you decide. But I want to tell you a story about back in the day when I used to go to did I say, sorry about that, to fitness conventions, and they were international. So that meant that I had the opportunity to meet instructors from other countries. And back in the day, fanny packs were popular, and they're popular now. I'm so happy I didn't throw mine away. Now, the word fanny means something different in the UK. So a couple of instructors commented on the little purse I was wearing around my waist, aka a fanny pack. But here's the thing. The word fanny in the UK means female genitals. So when they commented on what I was wearing, and I called it, sorry about that, a fanny pack, it explained the look on their face, which was north and south and east and west of confused. So I thought that was a fun story to drop in. So another term that I came upon was Mary Ellen. Okay, she's not a Karen, she's a Mary Ellen, and that brings me to Betty. I love the word Betty, and sweaty Betty's even better, particularly when you're a fitness instructor. Okay, so I thought it would be fun to drop in a soundbite about concerning what some other countries might refer to when they're talking slang about female genitals. And this next soundbite comes from Sweden, and Anna was kind enough to send it to me. We were talking on the phone, and I said, hey, can you send me a voice memo for slang names for your lady bits? Except I didn't say lady bits. You know I hate that. So she did, and kudos to her. And here you go. So next time you're in Sweden, you are either going to use these terms to get lucky or avoid these terms.
Okay, so here are the Swedish version. We start with the female, and it is fitta, snippa, muff, mutta, sköte, vulva, musen, springa, snäckan, och murva. And that's the girls.
Okay, thanks, Anna. And did I hear mulva? And I want to talk about that at the end of this. So many of the slang terms for female genitals are not so funny and are downright pejorative. For example, hole. Now you got to come up with a better term with that because that's so limited. And unless you're a band called Hole, we are going to trash that one. How about twat? Now, to be honest, I kind of like it because it just sounds like a fun word. But when I say it, I actually see it. And, you know, that's a little disconcerting. It's like splat, twat, just fun to say, one syllable. But it's not going to be well received. So we're going to keep that on the shelf. And how about box? Now, I haven't heard that recently. It's a little bit dated. But in my mind, this is where my mind had to go, I was saying to myself, the reason I like gay men so much is they think out of the box. And I thought that was clever, but I'm easily amused. Flower. Okay, that's very dated, for a maiden to be deflowered. And how about beaver? Now, a lot of people don't like beaver, but beavers are cute. And, I don't know how we factor in the buck teeth, but let's leave that undecided. Front bottom. I have no idea what that is or what country that could be from. Okay, this one. Gonna throw up a little bit in my mouth. The whispering eye. Where's the connection on that? And don't blink or you'll miss it. The growler. Okay. If that part of your body is growling, you need to give it some attention. It needs to get out more. Okay, did we talk about the lady garden? Now, typically that refers to pubic hair. So you better trim those weeds. And that's code for a Brazilian. Let's not beat around the bush. Okay, how about snatch? Don't like it. Don't like it at all. So a lot of young girls are taught now to say vagina instead of all those silly words, foo-foo, ta-ta, whatever. You know what I'm doodah. I love that one, zippity-doodah. And when, you know, saying vagina, it's not technically correct. It's definitely a step up. But vagina is just one part, one of the many 10 parts of the female genitals. So when a little girl tells her mom or dad or caretaker that her vagina hurts, or on the playground, you know, someone hit her in the vagina, and of course that would be an accident. And, you know, we accept that as the correct term. But when you think about it, for a child to complain about their vagina hurting, that's very, very specific. So the term that we need to start using is vulva. And it's a nice, it's safe. It's safe to drive a vulva. And it's a kind of a global term that describes all of the structures that make up that part of the female body. And they are, let's count them, the mons pubis, the labia majora, the labia minora, don't light it, the clitoris, the vestibular bulbs, the vulva vestibule, welcome, the Bartholin's glands, the Skene's glands, the urethra, and the vaginal opening. So that's a lot of stuff going on there. That's why it's easier to just say vulva. Now, when I say vulva, it brings to mind mulva. Now, why am I saying that? Well, right away, if you caught that, you are a Seinfeld fan. And remember the episode when he was dating a woman and he could not, and they're making out on the couch and he cannot remember her name. But he did remember that it rhymed with a part of female anatomy. So he's going through all these terms in his head, and he came up with one like mulva. And it just, I just fell on the floor. I thought it was so funny. And to this day, oh God, this is bad Annie talking. You know, it's I love having or hearing jokes and sometimes playing jokes on people, but we have to be careful that the joke is not at the person's expense. And I've often thought at the dog park when someone came over and said, oh, what's your dog's name? I always thought I would say mulva and just watch their expression. Now, if they laughed and got a big kick out of it, I knew that A, we were Seinfeld fans and we would, we have something in common right away. But my fear would be if they just looked blank at me and they didn't get it, and then it becomes an awkward moment, and we want to avoid as many awkward moments as we can in life. Okay, that's my takeaway tip for you. It's going to make your life so much better. So anyway, back to the Seinfeld episode. It's not until she leaves in a huff and he opens up the window at the end and he yells out, Dolores, and he remembered that her name rhymed with clitoris. So if you haven't seen that episode, you can YouTube it. It's really funny. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up this episode with a request. It's kind of like homework. And you could call this questionable advice. What I'd like you to do is give a piece of paper to your significant other. And I want you to ask them to draw female genitals. Okay, it's not easy. Drawing a penis is a whole lot easier. All you have to do is copy the arrow on the Amazon logo, because I think that is a penis, although a penis with maybe a little Peyronie's disease. So let me tell you how, when I did this with my husband, how it turned out. He drew an oval and he drew a line down the middle and he hands it back to me. And I'm like, you are kidding. Now, I this shouldn't be based on artistic ability, but just some sort of clue as to the structures that involved female anatomy. So he saw that I was not happy with the results. So I said, okay, try again. So he says, oh, okay, I got it. So this time he draws the oval and he draws two squiggly lines down the middle. And when he handed it back to me, I had no choice but to laugh because that's really hysterical. So that about wraps up our episode about intuition, female intuition, and the correct names and fun slang names for female genitals. So I hope this was entertaining as well as educating. Educational? Yes, educational. So thank you for listening to this episode. And if I could make a plug for another fun podcast, which is friendly to families and kids. It's called Dogma 2.0, which was also a column at one point. In fact, it was started way back in the year 2000. Remember back that far? Maybe you weren't even born yet, or maybe you were. So this column or this podcast is about dogs writing into my dog, Susie Q, about their problems training their humans. So it's a dog advice column for dogs by dogs. So check that out at your earliest convenience. I mean, first you have homework to do, sketch that female genitals, and then go listen to Dogma. And that's it in a nutshell.